B-Pod Studios.
On the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shot won't go. Tucker the rebound. And that'll do it. It's over. The Bucks have done it. The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
Who would it be?
The Milwaukee Bucks, NBA champions, Jones. Giannis has a title. The Bucks have a title. First non-super team.
Sorry, Boston.
Sorry.
Kiss the underside of my ass. We're champions. Sorry.
When was the last time you won? When was the last time you won?
Good question. When is right? The last? Well, I mean, when Tom Brady left, he took all the championships with him to Tampa Bay.
No, it's Celtics specific. The new green teamers, the Milwaukee Bucks fans. Bucks win last night. Giannis wins last night. It was a great, classic, big time performance from Giannis. He sort of stamps himself, I think, with that win last night in terms of the career resume. You know, multiple MVPs, but hadn't won a title, and now he has. I mean, I think that that's all sort of obvious following that game last night with the Bucks winning.
Yeah, it used to be like a real mark on your resume if you didn't have the championship, but you were given a pass if you were an exceptional player. You know, Charles Barkley. You know, you'd give him a pass because he was exceptional. Now I think. And, you know, time will tell after another 10 or 15 years whether guys who don't get championships end up getting a pass, because in this era, to be a great player on a team isn't enough. You need a couple. You might even need three. But for Giannis to do it last night, to go with the MVP that he's already won, to win another MVP and a finals MVP, and to drop 50 in a game winner, I mean, this all cements it. And should he not get another one? Another championship? I think he's still cemented as one of the dominant players of the era just from this, you know, this stretch alone.
Right. You need one to be in the club, right?
Yes. Yeah. One is really significant.
And I disagree, Hardy. I think the one is held against Barkley. I think it's held against Malone. You know, I think it will be held against other guys who, not a lot of guys have won MVPs and not won titles.
Steve Nash. Wait a minute. Who doesn't recognize Barkley or Malone as dominant players of their era?
They're recognized as dominant players of their era, but they're not recognized with the best of the best. They're not. They're a notch below the best of the best.
They were not the best of the best, though. Just based on watching them play.
Why do you think that?
I got to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Why do you think that?
I don't think it's because of their lack of championships.
If you're building a team,
do you want Charles Barkley or do you want Michael Jordan or Magic or Bird or any of those guys? You're picking those guys ahead of Barkley.
Yeah,
and I don't think the difference is
I think a factor is championships. I do. I think you look at Malone.
Magic, Bird, Jordan were all better players.
I think you'd look at Malone differently versus like Hakeem if Malone won. I think you'd look at him differently versus, like, and I'm trying to keep it to bigs. I know it's slightly different positions. David Robinson, if, you know, Malone won. Same thing with Barkley. I think maybe not with Bird and Magic, but you'd look at him differently with titles. You would. So Giannis is in that club now. He might need two or three to be considered with the best of the best, the upper crust. Even, you know, LeBron, as has been discussed over the last week plus.
It has.
He needs those championships. And, or at
if
least
you're talking like a top three
one.
Of all time,
well,
yes, he's going to need more than one. But to be remembered as a great player of the era, no, he's there. He did it.
Well, okay. I mean, what do you mean? Like a Hall of Famer? Everybody gets into the Basketball Hall of Fame. That's not hard to do. So, I mean, I guess now we're talking about different gradations here. But I think to be considered in that upper top 10, top 20 player of all time, You need the rings. And now that he's in that club, he's got a chance to get there someday. Never mind top three. You know, top 10, top 20, something like that. He's got a chance now. I don't know. I don't know that Barkley or Malone or Steve Nash or other guys who have won MVPs currently and don't have a championship, Westbrook, Harden, like that's not a giant club of guys who won MVPs and didn't win titles. Now Giannis is out of that club. That's not a club you wanted to be in.
No, it definitely isn't a club you want to be in. But this other question to me is interesting, and that is in terms of where he stands in the game currently. We could talk about where he stands all time, and we will continue to do that now forever. But in terms of where he is in the sport right now, I mean, I've been saying for years that if you were drafting a new team in the NBA, say you were the Kraken of the NBA, mm-hmm. but they gave you the pick of anyone in the league, you could take any one guy. I've been saying for years that that guy would be Giannis. You'd take him. You'd take him first based on age, based on ability, based on the potential for him to be even better than he has been. And I think we've started to now see that. I think he's elevated playing in this series the way that he played in the biggest moment. And also, do we forget that he nearly didn't play at the start of the series because he was hurt? I mean, I think that's sort of been lost in this story, but it's definitely a part of it, and I value it. Where is he, though, in terms of how he ranks among the current players? Mm. And has he sort of passed LeBron as that star player?
Well, in it, like moving forward, maybe.
Yes, maybe. Moving forward.
Maybe. But, I mean, he hasn't accomplished, in my opinion, a lot of what LeBron has for his career, even at his age. I know that comparison comes up a lot. But, yeah, this might be a passing of the torch. It might already be Durant's league over LeBron. So Giannis may be in that club, too. There might be a couple of guys ahead of LeBron now. And there's no shame. There's no shame in that. Like, I don't think it's Tom Brady's NFL right now. Brady won another championship. I still don't feel like it's his league, necessarily. But he's the most accomplished player in the sport, just like LeBron right now is the most accomplished player in the sport. Yeah, I think this could be a moment where Giannis and even Durant have passed him by. I believe that.
Yeah, I think that that's where we're headed with this. And I also just wonder, because it is not, to go back to that first point, that it's not a super team, so to speak, first time since the 04 Pistons, I would say, right?
Maybe Dallas.
No.
Dallas wasn't they weren't a super team.
Yeah, they truly
They didn't have a Giannis, though.
They had Dirk. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Detroit. Yeah.
Both.
Oh. Well, Dallas had Dirk.
Dallas had Dirk, and Dirk was awesome. So, but Detroit did not have somebody like that. That's true. They didn't have a Giannis.
No, I just a true team, capital T.
That's true.
Special.
Thank you, T-Bone.
There you go. So singular. Maybe it's not as special. And I would agree. It's not as special as Detroit.
Uniquely great.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Few things
but,
are.
But it was, I mean, you could tell this was a team. This was Giannis's team, but it was still not Giannis plus two. It wasn't.
No.
That's not what this team was.
No, Middleton and Drew Holiday are nice players. Brooke Lopez, nice player who I've dumped on in the past. He proved me wrong. But yeah, that's not a super team. No chance that's a super team.
No, it's not a super team. So is Giannis now a guy, like LeBron has been, to be a guy where that guy can carry a team to the NBA Finals? And do we hold the weird season or the Suns being the opponent on the other side, do we hold any of this stuff against him, or are we ready to say, oh, Giannis, he's becoming what LeBron was if you have him on your team, well, you're going to get damn close to being in the finals, if not in the finals, if not winning, because you have him on your team. LeBron's that level of a player. He might be getting there.
Okay. I heard you say last week or maybe the week before, you need that second championship to kind of verify the first one,
for
right?
Franchises, absolutely.
You know, so
I don't necessarily believe it about individual players.
Yeah, I don't know if Giannis needs another ring, but he needs another run at least to kind of verify that this wasn't an outlier season where Kevin Durant had a toe on the line and Trae Young got hurt and Phoenix was the opponent on the other side. Like, he needs another run, maybe not a title, but he needs another deep run, Eastern Conference Final, NBA runner-up, something like that.
Be in the mix.
Yes.
To sincerely be in the mix. To be considered that.
To be considered that. Like a guy who, no matter what, you can drag to an NBA championship or you know, be in the Final Four or something like that.
Speaking of things that were said last week, Nick Wright said this when he was on, what show was he on?
First Things First.
First Thing. I was going to say First Take, but I knew that wasn't right. First Things First. Nick Wright on this.
I do believe this was the first NBA Finals game LeBron James has ever attended that he wasn't playing it. And not only is he there, he is in the sideline camera shot, the perfect seat in the house to watch Giannis, who once upon a time prematurely, figuratively took the crown from LeBron, I think officially, potentially, if they finish it off, take the crown from LeBron.
This was not, again, after last night. It was after the previous game. But there you go. LeBron was in the house, and he was having his crown taken by Giannis, is what it was. I mean, no one's more popular right now than Giannis. His popularity is through the roof. He's an extremely likable guy. He does not bring the controversy that LeBron seems to bring among fans.
Or the AAU basketball baggage that comes with
entitlement.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, like USA players grow up in that grassroots environment versus an international player who doesn't. He doesn't bring that to the table, which is refreshing.
Let's talk more about it. 617-77. Oh, wait a minute. The phones are not working.
What? Here?
Well, don't give me that look. Dennis, chief engineer, giving me the look like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't tell anyone.
I'm the one doing the radio show. I'm the one holding up my end of the bargain here today.
What happened? Did the hamster die on the wheel?
The hamster died. There's someone on a stationary bike trying to keep the light bulb lit downstairs.
We need a replacement hamster. Quick.
I want you to know that...
some blue hair pulling the cords out of the board down at the switchboard in the
basement.
Sarah,
give me Juanita down at the diner. What is it, Dennis?
What's the problem today?
I was trying to say until T-Bone's cell phone jumped into his headset here. I just went home for like an hour this morning to shower and came back to fix this. I mean, I've been here all night working feverishly.
Oh, so you've been now hours on this.
I never went home.
You've been working overnight trying to repair the matter.
Breeding hamsters.
No, I went home. I'm working on it. I'm getting it done. It'll get done.
You want us to like feel bad for you, but
No, I'm not looking for sympathy at all.
Okay, you lied to us. And are you working on this?
Oh, wait, hold on.
I'm just curious.
Oh, he's getting a call.
I got to go. This is important.
As opposed to this,
yep.
Which is just...
The lady at the switchboard is overwhelmed.
Johnny and the F-Around crew. Okay.
All right. No phones. Phones are broken, and it's not Pierre's fault this time.
Well, I mean, look, it's sports talk radio.
Philippe.
What do you need those for? What do you need phones for? You don't need those things.
No phones today. Okay. Phones are broken. Don't call us.
I think we should take turns impersonating some of our regular callers.
That's a good idea.
There we are. There we go.
That's a good idea.
Let's talk about what this means for the Celtics. Giannis
Du
winning.
Pauly.
Jones, you're Jake in Boston.
Hang on. I'm going to write down a bunch of jokes and Animal House references, and I'll be Mike from Woburn. It'll be perfect.
I thought you were doing Jeff in New Hampshire. Either way, that has to be scripted.
Put something together, okay, Jones?
Yeah. Let me just type something out real quick. I'll be Mike from Woburn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. What this all means for the Celtics, Giannis winning, the Bucks winning. Was there a path for the Celtics this year that they weren't able to take advantage of? We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled
it. You'd know it if you
smelled
it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team. And, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it.
He did it in a market that is not L.A., it's not New York, it's not one of the destination places. I think Miami has a little bit of that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's not New York or L.A., but it's still up there. He did it in Milwaukee. Freaking Milwaukee. You know, we talk about the Celtics being at a disadvantage because of their market all the time. Is there, from an NBA standpoint, any difference between... Is there a difference? This is how I want to ask it. Let me adjust my tone there. Is there a difference between Boston and Milwaukee when it comes to the NBA? Or are we the same? Because we don't consider ourselves on the same level as Milwaukee. We would like to consider ourselves a better place to be a professional athlete than Milwaukee.
Right. Boston should be better, but is it actually better to an NBA athlete? It might not be. There might not be that much of a difference at the end of the day. What would you champion with Boston? Like, what would you even hype up? I mean, the titles, it's a bigger city. I mean, I guess a more worldly city, I guess. But, like, I don't know. Is there a bigger gap between New York, Miami, L.A., and then down to Boston, or Boston down to Milwaukee?
Oh, it's a far bigger gap between
New York. Bigger gap at the top.
I would just say that Boston is unfortunately close to Milwaukee in this regard.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a massive gap there.
No, you think it's probably above?
It's got to be better. I mean, it has to be.
At least the Celtics have landed a couple of free agents. Not like great ones, and they had to overpay Hayward and Horford. But, like, does Milwaukee get those? No.
No. No, they don't. They've not received anything like that. The Celtics should be considered a better spot than that, and they have the history, and they've got all the winning on their side, and they do have things going for them. But right now, if you're a free agent, which team would you pick? You wouldn't pick the Celtics. You'd pick the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I understand this is a hypothetical question. I don't know what their books look like, but would you rather play with Giannis or would you rather play with Tatum? I mean, right now, at least Giannis is going to give you the ball, right? He kept giving it to Drew Holiday last night. Drew Holiday, by the way, 4 out of 19. Jackie Bradley Jr. was in attendance at the game last night.
Yeah.
And I think his 4 out of 19 was paying his respects to Jackie Bradley. I just looked it up. That's 210 shooting percentage. That's about Jackie Bradley's batting average. So I think that was an homage to the Brewers outfielder, former Red Sox outfielder,
and
Jackie Bradley Jr.
And to hit it on a number like that, good for him.
I thought that was really impressive by Drew Holiday. But at least Giannis will keep passing the ball to Drew Holiday when he sucks. He'll keep giving it up to Middleton in the games where Middleton is having a bad game. Is Tatum always going to give up the basketball? I know his assists are trending in the right direction. His assist percentage is trending in the right direction. It still feels like in a key possession, he's going to put his head down and he's going to do some stupid turnaround fadeaway shot. And yeah, I'd rather play with a guy who's going to share the basketball than not. So I'd rather play with Giannis.
Oh, they're going to be sharing it a lot more next season. Ime has already told us that.
Yep.
That was the priority number one.
Good.
Yeah, it was a big thing for him.
Get those assist numbers up.
Move the ball.
Share. That's what he wanted to do. Wanted to make sure there was sharing going on. But yeah, I think that there's something to take note of there, that Milwaukee, now champions, the same as the Celtics, that also now is representative of an opportunity because we don't look at Milwaukee as a super team. Okay, a super team didn't win. Why is it that the Celtics couldn't have been more competitive this year? And did they waste a potential path in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, well, why do
you... If they had done better the last 3 or 4 years in assembling their team, was this a time that the Celtics could have taken advantage and been champions again?
The last 3 years. The Kyrie year, they were the most talented team in the East. And
that's why I said 3-4 years.
Egos and personalities got in the way. So, right? With that team? Egos and personality. If you said 3 years, my mistake. I missed
it. I said 3 or 4 years. Kyrie got here 4 years ago.
So you're right. My mistake. So when Kyrie got here, they were the most talented team in the East. That team should have been in the finals based on talent. 2 years ago, it was the 6th seed Miami Heat or whatever they were. You should have been in the NBA Finals 2 years ago. And then last year, what got in the way? Egos. Big personalities. Guys couldn't agree. Whatever the hell was going on with Ainge and Stevens, the players were checked out. Like, were injuries a part of it? I guess. They were a part of it for Atlanta. They were a part of it for Milwaukee. You pointed out Giannis being hurt in the Eastern Conference Finals. They won both games without him. So how much can you really cry about injuries if you're the Celtics? How much can you cry about COVID if you're the Celtics? Like, the last 3 years, what's gotten in the way? Egos. Big personalities, like little personal issues with the coaches, with the GM, amongst each other. Like, that's why they're not there. That's totally why they're not there. And, you know, I don't know if that's getting any better just because of some coaching change and kicking Stevens upstairs. I don't know if that's magically
fixed.
Well,
not only that, the team is not the most talented in the East anymore.
No.
Like, they're not that same team. And so I hope that the Celtics sort of use this as motivation because they've been passed by so many teams. Not that they don't know where they are in terms of how bad they are, you know, and how bad they've been. I mean, hell, look at all the changes that they've made this year. So they know that they've got issues that need fixing, if that makes sense. But I don't know. This feels like a lost opportunity. As much as I did enjoy seeing Giannis win, I thought that was a good story. I do look at this and say, man, the Celtics are so far behind. There's such a gap between them and the rest of the teams in the East now. And a few short years ago, that was not the case.
So I agree with you. I'm not sure everybody agrees with that. The Nets are better. I think everybody agrees with that.
They are.
Milwaukee now you have to give the edge to. You have to, even if it's not a significant edge. And I don't feel like Milwaukee's like head and shoulders better than the Celtics, but they're better. Has Atlanta passed them? I mean, I know Atlanta went further this year. Has Atlanta passed them?
No, but is there any sort of significant gap?
I would say Atlanta's passed them for the time
being. Fine, yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think they're in the same sort of department.
Is Philly ahead of them?
They are, but I don't ever want to view them as a real threat until they can actually win.
Keep an eye on
them. They've got more talent. I think if you look at their roster, they've got more talent on their roster. Well, I just don't think they can put it together.
Let's see what they do with Simmons, too. Like, if they bring back a legitimate piece for Simmons, let's see how that looks. I don't know about Philly, though. New York is one I'd keep an eye on with some cap space, but they have work to do. Like, the Celtics start at best third in the East, and you could make a case they're closer to 5 or 6, maybe even 7 where they were last year. Like, that's what they are. And I agree. Milwaukee has passed them by. Even if it's not a significant edge, you have to give them the edge based on them getting there. I do want to circle back to that Giannis comment, though. Like, my initial reaction, the first time I heard that was, boy, what a shot at LeBron. I don't need to be on a super team. Or what a shot at Durant, right?
Yep.
Like, wow, I don't need to do that. That would be easy. Then I took a step back and I thought about it. How do you feel if you're Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and like some of his teammates when you hear that? Like, it'd be easy to go win with a bunch of good players, but I won with these a-holes. Like, how do you take it if you're those guys?
We did it the hard way. Right. Do you know how hard it is to win a championship?
I won with Brook Lopez. You know, like, man, I would give him the benefit of the, it's a second language. Like, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt on some level, but that wouldn't sit great with me if I'm Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and those other guys.
Easy, easy, Stephen A. I could understand him just fine. I don't have any issue.
You know what?
In this country,
Giannis.
Slow down.
We don't take shots at our teammates like that.
No, there is a little bit of that, but I think it spoke more to, I didn't leave. I didn't go and join LeBron James. I didn't join Kevin Durant. I didn't join Kyrie Irving. I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed here and had other players sort of, you know, come on. Those guys know they're not on the level of some of these other stars. They have to know.
Yeah. Just, you know.
I don't know how well they'll take it, but they have to know.
that couldn't have felt great while they were sitting there listening to his post-game press conference. Like, yeah, I didn't win with superstars. I won with these bums. That just probably doesn't sound great.
It's not how he said it, though. You're putting a different spin on it.
In as many words.
Tony Mass at 98.5thesportshub.com writes, so what means more, Kevin Durant's 2 championships with Golden State or Giannis's 1 with Milwaukee? He says, I know what I'm picking and it's not even close. Somewhere, hopefully, Jason Tatum is paying attention to this. Though, he says, it's likely he doesn't care, which is hardly a reflection on Tatum. In the NBA, especially talented players now look at championships as something on their to-do lists more than they do an enticing challenge. Players in all sports...
I'd push back on that. I don't think that's just an NBA thing. I think that's in all sports. Young players put championships on their to-do list. They can ring chase later. I don't think that's just an NBA
thing. I don't think he's... I mean, he says in the NBA, but I don't think he would limit it to the NBA either. I agree with that. I think there's sort of that flaw in this generation of professional athletes. It's like, oh, that would be nice.
Yeah. Well,
no, that's what you're here for. That's what you should want more than anything.
I'll do that in my
30s. Yeah, I'll do that at some point. You know,
it's like people getting married.
And he says here,
I'll get married in my
30s. Maz writes,
I'll have kids someday.
Maz writes,
I'll win a championship.
Players in all sports should look at championships the way mountain climbers look at Everest. And he talks about Alex Honnold in Free Solo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he says the way he eyed El Capitan. He said, but they don't. Mostly because they're too afraid or too entitled or too heartless. Read that story at 98.5thesportshub.com, which he's saying that should be, I think, what Tatum looks at and says, you know what? I can do what Giannis did. That's impressive. That's more impressive than LeBron crisscrossing the country, whether it be Cleveland, Miami, back to Cleveland, now to L.A. No, stick with your team. Get the team together. Make it your team. Go on a run.
Yeah.
Put it together. Grow as a player. Get better. Chase the championship.
Does anybody disagree with Tony's point about Giannis versus Durant? Like, the Giannis one is way more impressive than the 2 Durant one. If Durant wins in Brooklyn, I guess we can talk, although that's a super team. But yeah, it's Giannis in a landslide.
No, like, yeah, like, I would agree.
Like, who's pushing back on that?
Like, and this is where you sort of say, you know, and generally speaking in sports, I see the second one validates the first. I'd rather have Giannis's one than Durant's two.
Yeah, well, and
it's far more meaningful.
Well, they won without Durant. So, like, that doesn't even count. Durant was the second one. Durant kind of legitimized what Golden State was doing. Durant wasn't there for the first one.
Yeah, and he bailed on his team and went to Golden State because they were winning. And so I'll jump on that train. When the sad part is, Durant is good enough to get there and do what Giannis did.
He is. He totally is.
That's the thing I've never understood about him. Why did he feel the need to do that? He's good enough.
Well, he doesn't look at it like that guy looks at El Capitan. He doesn't look at it like Mount Everest.
That guy.
No,
I couldn't remember his name, Hardy.
Alex Honnold. I think he does. He just, I don't know. He got afraid and he went to Golden State.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Too afraid to climb El Capitan.
What's Danny
Ainge? Alex Humboldt. What's his name?
Honnold.
Honnold.
You just offended Hardy.
Honnold.
H-O-N-N-O-L-D.
Who, me? Yep. You looking at me, T-Bone?
I'm hearing it.
Jones.
Did you watch the movie?
No.
What do you do?
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, it's excellent.
Is it good?
Yeah.
All right.
No, no good. You shouldn't watch it.
I'll put it on. Well, I got Red Sox Blue Jays to watch tonight, but I'll put it in the queue.
Let's get to Danny Ainge. We did not get to Danny Ainge yesterday. We mentioned him in passing. You interested in buying a home, Jones? He's selling his.
No.
Okay. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds from talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I love my relationship with the players. That's a lot of fun. I enjoy basketball and the competition. And so you wonder, what are you going to do without that? And those are the things that drive you every day. But I don't have a plan. My wife and I were just talking last night about, okay, what's next? Do we, but we can, you know, I can jump on a plane and go see, there's a funeral of one of our relatives that we need to go to that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to go to, that Michelle was. And that's kind of been our life the last year too, is, you know, she's going around and doing all these fun things with our, with the family, and, you know, I'm at work.
TN40 here on Zolak and Bertrand. Adam Jones in for Zoe today. What do you think Zoe's doing? What do you think he's doing? Never know what he's doing. Never know what he's doing.
Zoe, the meatloaf.
Called me this morning, but we were on our conference call. I couldn't pick it up.
Sorry. I think I talked to him. I talked to him
last night briefly.
A couple few days ago.
Yeah, he's you know, Freedom Boat Club.
I think we should give him the benefit of the doubt. He's probably getting in front, checking warranties on, you know, whatever household items.
Right.
May need fixing, may need maintenance.
A preventative maintenance.
Yeah.
We like to call it.
Check. Are you a little overdue for a water heater like he was, you know? Get in front of it.
Right.
Deal with that now.
Throwing down a couple buckets to catch the water before it happened.
Right. Right.
Smart.
It's good. Oh, we'll call him later.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do. When the phones work, which is not now.
So like Friday.
The phones aren't working. Ah. The phones aren't working. It's not just us. It's the entire building. The phones stopped working. Not because they just had like a connection issue or, you know, a telephone pole got hit by a car or something. Mm-hmm. No, we took too many calls.
Mm-hmm.
So too many calls came into the station for contests on other stations. They fried the phone center.
Eli Brooks band giveaway is tenuous right now.
Wow. Big time giveaway. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. But to go back to Danny Ainge, mm-hmm. we mentioned this yesterday, his comments to Dan Shaughnessy that he made, in that the house is for sale, but he doesn't know if he's moving yet. And your reaction to that was what?
Danny, you did it once a week when you were on with Toucher and Rich. Can you just stop lying to us? You're not even working for the Celtics anymore. Like, you're leaving. You're probably going to take another job in basketball. Why are we going through this charade? Like, your house is on the market, but you're sticking around. And I understand he could buy another house somewhere around here. He could downsize if he wanted to. But does anyone actually believe that? No. His house is on the market. He's leaving. What, was Tom Brady going to buy another house somewhere else around here? No. His house is on the market. He left. Danny Ainge's house is on the market. He's leaving.
Okay, so
and he's going to go take a job somewhere else.
So what's his motivation for lying is my question.
I don't know. He's been doing it for 20 years.
Right, so but it's usually got a motivation. It's usually to, you know, create cover.
So, or, I mean, it is. It's
or
to keep
help
up,
the
it's,
PR for the team.
It's to keep up. Well, that's
make
exactly
himself
what it
look good.
It's to keep up the charade that I'm retiring. I'm not going to keep working in basketball. I wasn't forced out. I mean, that's why, right? Because if he goes and immediately takes a job and moves to Salt Lake or moves to, you know, Denver or whatever, I forget the other markets he's been linked to, then, you know, it looks like the whole thing was a lie. That Danny Ainge was retiring because, you know, it was too much for his schedule or, you know, because of his health or whatever. And he wasn't fired. He wasn't shoved out the door. And so to keep that up, you have to say, well, we might stick around. We could totally stick around. And you want to separate those two events a little bit more. So I think that's the motivation.
Ainge said, quote, "I want to work again. I just don't want to do the crazy lifestyle that I had the last 18 years. I have nothing right now. I just got done with a long walk and a swim this morning and taking my wife to tennis. We just got back from spending lots of time with our parents that we haven't seen since the pandemic started. So we had some good times with our family, and there's nothing on the horizon as I see it.
As I see it.
The house is for sale, but we're not moving for sure. We're not certain on that."
Yeah. I looked at it. Too much house for the Jones family, by the way. That's too much house.
How many square footage? What's square footage there? It's big.
I lied. I didn't actually look it up.
Oh, damn it.
But I'd seen it. I'd seen the listing previously. I don't have it in front of me. Too much house for the Jones family. We don't need all that.
Don't need all that. You're a minimalist. $4.5 million, I believe he wants for that in Wellesley.
Good deal.
He purchased it in 2003 for $2.3 million.
Huh. So he purchased it when he took the job. Okay.
Well, yeah, he was not living here at the time.
No, I'm just saying.
He needed to move here.
Right. No. Right. So he purchased it when he took the job, and the second he's out of a job, he put it on the market. But he's totally sticking around. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
You know what? Life changes, Jones.
Sure.
Might be downsizing.
All right, so let me give you my theory on why he may not be selling the home.
Theorize away.
He thinks that there's a possibility, or he wants someone to think there's a possibility, that he could go back to the Celtics if Brad Stevens splits. Maybe not in the same role, but in some sort of advisory situation.
So it's a leverage play.
Where you know, Austin Ainge, or who are the other guys in that front office? Mike Zarin,
sure.
Right, one of these guys gets promoted in the absence of Brad Stevens being there, and then, you know, he's invited back to lurk around and oversee things, not to the degree that he was, mm-hmm. but that there's some sort of role for him with the Celtics, the type of role that he's trying to carve out with himself and hope presents itself as an opportunity with the Suns or the Jazz or any of these other teams.
Got it. So you think it's a leverage play with those other teams, or you think he actually believes he might have a chance to work for the Celtics?
Oh, no, again? I think he might actually maybe believes there's a chance he's back in the fold, but not, again.
It's not to you know, bilk a few extra bucks out of the Jazz or something like that.
Right, no, I don't think it's a leverage play.
Okay.
I think if he, in a perfect world, that he would still have some involvement with the team and be able to have input and, you know, be able to be sort of part of the mix, but not be the guy who has to be there every day. Why would you not want to have it here, where you know everyone in the office, you know, you have apparently have a wonderful relationship with ownership. I mean, they were shedding tears at the podium.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, but it's what? You don't have to sell the home. You can stay right where you are. Maybe settled in where he is now.
Maybe he should just gift it to Austin.
Could do that too.
Could do that.
Or maybe he's got a nice home himself. Maybe it's too much home for for his family.
He might.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Be too much home for yours.
Somewhere, by the way, Bill Belichick is nodding in approval.
at this idea?
At the just at the Austin Ainge evolvement through the organization, the progression through the organization. Bill looks at it and says, "Steve and Brian, someday that's you."
Because I'm with you, Jones. The only reason that you'd live here is because you'd have potential for work. He wasn't living here before.
Yeah.
It's never been his permanent home. I know that he's been here for the last 18 years, but there's plenty of discussion of him moving elsewhere. Well, why would you stay? Why would you be unsure about selling the house all of a sudden?
I mean, again,
were you unsure when you listed it and put it on the market? Most people, when they put the home on the market,
they're unsure about it.
They're like, no,
what was out there.
If someone comes
it's
in and,
market.
And offers me the $4.5 million, I'm selling the home. You ever listed a home, Artie, and not be sure you want to sell?
No, but maybe you started looking around and it's like, we got water coming through in the bathroom here, and now I got to do a drop ceiling in here. I don't feel like messing with that. I got, have to deal with all the patchwork. I got to fix the drywall down here. I don't feel like doing all that.
How's the water heater?
I got that going on right now.
Oh, do you?
What a nightmare. Leak in the ceiling. Got to drop the bathroom. First floor bathroom ceiling. It's brutal.
That's exactly why.
Sucks.
Use that.
There's
going to
be a lot of mold up there. I can already see it coming through. Who wants to do it? You want to come over and do it for me?
You know what?
No, but if you need an outlet, I'm your guy.
I have an electrician, multiple, actually.
A whole team.
He has a team of.
I do have a team.
He has a legal team.
Sweet humble brag.
Yep.
He has an electrician.
What I don't have. Yep. Don't have guy that comes in, drops the
ceiling guy the on
ceiling,
retainer.
Drops the ceiling, fix the leaky pipe, and then puts the ceiling back up. I don't have that guy.
Ceiling team.
Ceiling and a minor plumbing team.
Yeah,
that's the guy I need. That doesn't fit neatly into one of the boxes.
It's tough to find. It's like a cricket team. They're not everywhere.
No, but that might be why Danny's leaving the area. He can't find a ceiling and minor plumbing guy. He's like, all right.
It's a combo job, Jones.
Portland.
I don't want to break that up.
Could it also be something as simple as, you know what? I like this house. We don't need to sell it.
Nah.
What's wrong? They have a few houses.
Father of the Bride Part 2 situation. That's what you're saying?
I don't think they could make that movie in this day and age.
Now, why is that? Martin Short character? Is that why?
Not Martin Short, I think, is okay. I think it's the Eugene Levy character that would present the problem.
Oh, yeah. That might be.
Think back on that.
That might be, a little bit of appropriation going on. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But, Steve Martin's out there. He's shooting baskets with the daughter, and he's like, I love this house, man. Maybe that is Danny Ainge. They got a nice basketball hoop there. I've seen it.
Well, yeah, they've got the basketball hoop, and they also have the trampoline basketball in the backyard.
See, that's where I said ridiculous. Too much for the Jones house.
Too much.
Too much. I don't need that.
Too much.
Jones household doesn't need a trampoline. Is he playing slam ball in the backyard?
It's great.
617-7. Oh, why am I doing that? I want to take calls.
Don't give
calls
out the number.
This.
We can't take
I
calls.
I can't take a call.
Just give out your cell phone.
We did get a lengthy email from Jeff in New Hampshire, though. We could touch in on that.
Is it good?
Oh, he's upset.
About what?
The phones?
He feels disrespected.
He does?
Yes.
Because of what?
Because we were talking crap about him.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. One of these guys mentioned him this morning. That's right. On our... I thought we'd get the angry email from Mike.
No.
Felger.
No. Woburn.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's typing something up, I'm sure.
Speaking of the Bruins, there is some good news on the Bruins front. At least I think it's good news on the Bruins retaining one of their players. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right.
It's a retake.
It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Guys, ongoing negotiations between the Boston Bruins and veteran forward Taylor Hall. Look, Taylor Hall wants to stay with the Bruins. He feels like he's a real good fit there. He wants to give them a chance to get a deal done until July 28th, when the free agent window opens entirely. So work to be done, but there's at least some optimism between the two sides.
Darren Dreger yesterday. Here's the news today for the Boston Bruins as it relates to retaining Taylor Hall. Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman said on Wednesday that momentum is gaining with Boston and Taylor Hall. That was said this morning. That was Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman. And we obviously read the Andy Strickland thing the other day. But this latest one is from, who's it from again?
Frank Seravelli.
Frank Seravelli. Frank Seravelli saying it's getting close. 4 years, $6 million per year. The $6 million is the right number.
It's a good deal.
The 4 years, to me, is the part that I say, how did he not get the fifth year? I mean, I've been shooting all along, 5-30, 6 AAV. That slots him in behind the top three.
That's what Backus got, right?
That's what he should get. Like, that should be his deal. I thought it would be longer. Maybe he didn't want it to be longer. Maybe that was his call. Maybe he feels like in 4 years there will be a lot more money in the sport and
can hit the market again in 32, 33, whatever he'd be.
Right. And maybe if he's had productive years, he's going to be able to get money there that 4 years down the road, financially, things will be better for the league and someone will want to buy a veteran at $7, $8, $9 million. Look, who knows where we'll be in 4 years? Who knows where we'll be in 4 months at this point?
I'll give the Bruins credit and I'll give him credit if that's the number, because I've said now for months that there's nothing in his track record that says he'll take less. Nothing. Like, the guy was the number one pick when he came into the league. He willingly signed with Buffalo last year, like chose to sign. People treated him like it was some pity party. Like he just randomly ended up in Buffalo. Like he was Jack Eichel and got drafted there. He chose to go there. He chased the most money to go to Buffalo. He could have signed with the Bruins last offseason. He chose not to. So I, for a while, have said I'd be stunned if he signed for a deal here in Boston, because there's nothing in his track record, nothing in his history that says he'd do that. He's always been well compensated. He's always been compensated at the top of the market. I'll give him credit and I'll give the Bruins credit, because this is one thing Sweeney does well. You know, his trades are hit and miss. His drafts have been awful. But this is one thing he does well. He retains his guys for a good number. Carlo just signed at a great AAV. You know, maybe a little long in terms of years. And, you know, to me, the Bruins shouldn't hold their breath and expect Brandon Carlo is going to play 82 games, because it doesn't seem like that's in his future. But the number, 4.1, is an excellent number. You know, Marchand, Pastrnak, Bergeron, all those guys are at great numbers. I guess we'll see about McAvoy. Chara, year after year after year, great number. Rask was a little high. Krejci was a little high. This would be another one of those. If he signs in that $6 million range, a little above or a little below, that's another great deal for Sweeney. It is.
How does he do it?
I don't know. Hey, guys, you know, you can go anywhere and win a Stanley Cup, but if you want to lose in the second round every year and have your goalie crap his pants, this is the only place you could do it. Like, is that the pitch? I don't get how they're able to keep guys for less.
I'm not sure, Jones, but I don't think that's the pitch.
Hey, you want to lose? You want to lose to Tampa in five every year? Come here. You want to sign for a little less and lose to Tampa in five every single year. This is the spot for you. Like, what the hell is the marketing pitch that gets guys to sign for less?
And here's the tweet. Hearing NHL Bruins have made meaningful progress with pending unrestricted free agent Taylor Hall. Expectation is Hall will indeed remain in Boston after the signing moratorium is lifted. Wouldn't be surprised to see a deal in the 4 years at $6 million neighborhood. Stay tuned.
If you're Seattle, what prevents you from jumping in and doing that?
Nothing.
Like, they're signing up UFAs left and right. Drieger, Adam Larson, I think Alexiak in Dallas, that's another name. And those are all guys that if you sign them in the expansion draft, that would be the Bruins player. Like, wouldn't you rather try to bring Taylor Hall in? And maybe he has no interest in going to Seattle and playing on an expansion team. Maybe that's a simple answer.
Well, hockey's always been there.
That's true. I don't know if he knows about the Galloping Gertie. Is that her name? And some of the other.
The bridge is Galloping Gertie.
Is that her name?
The other monsters of the deep. Oh, the bridge is Galloping Gertie.
Yeah, Galloping Gertie was the bridge.
Excuse me. But I don't know. If I'm Seattle, wouldn't you rather sign him than somebody like Connor Clifton or Jeremy Lauzon? I'd rather get that from the Bruins. But maybe he doesn't want to go there. Maybe the answer's simple.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play for the Kraken. Doesn't want to do that.
Maybe if they had a real name.
Doesn't want to play for the Kraken. Sorry, Jones. Sorry. Six. Can't take a call on that, so I can't give you that number. Not going to do. Are they working yet?
Hey, Boston, what do you think of Taylor Hall at $6 million a year? Give us a call.
Or anything we've talked about today. Man, you know who's going to have a harder time with this? Felger and Maz.
Yeah.
Do they rely on callers?
A little bit.
Thank God the night show has a Revs game tonight, because otherwise that would be slim pickings.
Do they release the hounds earlier than later on that program?
Typically. You can release the hounds, Jimmy.
Yep. Although, did you know it's not Jimmy that releases the hounds? I got to the bottom of this a few weeks ago. It's Billy who releases the hounds.
Mm.
Should be release the hounds, Billy.
No, it's kind of like that show is run much like a nuclear submarine, though. The order has to be conveyed and then conferred. You know, it's
And you both got to lock your keys.
And when they switch off, you know, it's very formal in there. It's like Billy has the con. It's like XO has the con. Billy's the XO.
Do you concur?
James Stewart, chief of the boat.
Yep. Do you concur,
or
Billy
the captain,
Lanny?
Right. Yeah.
Yes, I concur, James Stewart. Okay, both turn your keys. Hounds released.
Not today.
I have a feeling it'll be fixed.
Make your depth 1, 2, 4, 5. Depth 1, 2, 4, 5. Aye.
I have a feeling they'll get this sorted out just in time for 2 o'clock.
I hope so.
2 degree down bubble. Aye. 2 degree down bubble.
The problems emerged yesterday, though, did they not? Didn't it begin yesterday?
Oh, I'd say.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.